For the last 6 months in Ireland, there was a competition, and sit down, Peter. For the last 6 months, there's been a competition in Ireland. They're trying to find out what the best place in Ireland to live in. And they whittled it down in the last fortnight to the last six. And believe it or believe it not, Waterford was one of them. And also were Killarney, there was Galway, there was Clonakilty, and there was Glasshoole up in County Monaghan. And when I looked at them, I said, wow, I said, we're not going to win this. But, you know, you look at Galway, you look at Killarney and the lakes, and, you know, look at Clonakilty and the black pudding that you have and all that. You know, lovely, all lovely tourist places, you know. What has Waterford got to offer in comparison to this, you know? You know, and lo and behold, what happened? Waterford won the competition. Why Waterford City is the best place to live in Ireland in 2021. And I gave 15 reasons why Waterford won it, and I was blown away by it, yeah. You know, and there were five independent judges, none of them from Waterford, came and studied all these areas, you know. And they picked Waterford for these various reasons, you know. And sometimes we can look at the city here, we can be very, very negative about it, you know. But these guys found a very valid reason why Waterford is the best place to live in. And sometimes, as Christians, we can be like that ourselves. We can look at ourselves and we can be very, very negative about ourselves. And we can compare ourselves to other, you know, oh, I'd never be like him, I'd never be like her, you know. But God sees you. And he sees you as you are. But he also sees you as a regenerated Christian down the road. And he knows what you're going to be. And that's why I sang that song that I had Dardy and the team singing that song, Everlasting Love. There's no mountain he won't climb up or no door he won't he'll come after you. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, he will never let you alone until you're fully, fully committed. You may think he has forgotten about you, but he will never forget you. And that's not even my sermon this morning. Now, Carter Conlon sent his apologies again this morning, but he can't be with us, but he gave me permission to use some of his stuff, some of his material, so I freely do so. I want to share with you from the title of my talk, God Has Chosen You. And sharing from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 29 from the New Living Translation. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose these things of the world to consider foolish, to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what he considered important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. And we also see in Romans 2, verse 11, for God does not show any favoritism. The point that the Apostle Paul is making here is that God is the one who does the choosing. Just as he's chosen to reveal himself to others throughout his history, God has chosen to reveal himself to you. It's no accident that you're here this morning, because God wants you to be here. You didn't come here by your own free will, even though you think you did. God wants you to be here for a reason and a purpose. You see, there is going to be a last day revival before Jesus Christ comes to his church. He's going to raise many people in this last period of time. And their lives are going to be a testimony of his glory Let's turn to the book of Acts 22, verses 12 to 15 for an example. There was a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jew who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him and said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. This is the Apostle Paul sharing his own testimony. Now, if I was in charge of God's kingdom, and we were looking for somebody to be a witness, probably the last person on earth I would have chosen would have been the Apostle Paul. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was a man called Saul. He was an angry man who stood against the word and the ways of God. He was so enraged at a certain people group that claimed to know God in a different way than he did. He began to resist them and hunt them down and even put some to death. Yet while on his journey to bring people into captivity, suddenly a light from heaven shone around him and he encountered the presence of God. Paul recounted the incident in Acts 22, verses 7 to 8. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. A lot of people today have been resisting God. It may not necessarily be that they hate God or his people the way Saul did, but rather they have a deep sense of his unworthiness. They hate themselves and simply do not believe that God could ever use them. When they look in the mirror, they see a failure. However, the Lord sees each of us as the person we will be when we have a living encounter with him. When we allow him, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to begin to change our lives. Have you ever considered that humans are the only creatures in all of creation that have the capability of resisting God? The geese do not resist him. They fly south every winter. They fly south. The birds do not resist him. They sing their songs in the morn, except that pigeon that chirps up at 6 o'clock in my morn that you like to wring his neck, you know. But I put down his praise in God at 6 o'clock in the morn, so I leave him alone. The clouds do not resist him. They go wherever they're directed to go. Even darkness could not resist him, for when he spoke, light had to come. The only thing ever created by the hand of God that has the power to resist him is you and me. But when we stop resisting God and begin calling out to him, suddenly darkness gives way to light. Purposeless gives way to a divine calling that God has for each of our lives. Let's return to the passage in Acts where we saw Ananias praying, and God instructed him to go and lay hands on Saul. Ananias replied, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all those who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. We see this in Acts 9, 13 to 15. Can you imagine a time of prayer like that? Your prayer, praying, and suddenly the Lord says, I want you to go to this violent man and lay your hands on him because I have chosen him for a divine purpose. Talk about having to step out in faith. And I believe God is calling us as his church in Waterford in this last hour to do what Ananias did. To step out for places of comfort and believe that one more time God is going to choose the nothings, the nobles, the vile, the violent, all the people that nobody else want. And I want you all to turn to Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. We'll put it up on the screen, but this time I want us all to read it together, right? 1, 2, 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and prisons will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Now he's telling each one of ye that the Lord has anointed ye. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon ye. Not just me, not just the elder, is upon ye. In other words, the Lord said, I want you to go and pray for them because I have chosen them to glorify my name in this last hour. I'm going to raise them from death, to open prison doors and to give sight to their blind eyes. They're going to become my end time army of witnesses to show the world who I am and what I can do. Continuing with Acts 19:17-8. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and he laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. In other words, let me put my hands on you. When I do, you're going to see the purpose for your life and you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. And this is what the end time spiritual awakening is going to look like. People that you least expect are going to suddenly going to see things that the religious can't see. They're going to see God's plan. They're going to see his power and the reason that he has chosen them. Then Ananias said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. Acts 22:14. Imagine how hard it must have been for Saul to believe this at that moment. This God that I have fought against, those people I have hurt, imprisoned and even killed, has chosen me. And this is what I believe God is going to do in this last generation. It'll be as in Zechariah 4, verse 6. And that scripture is over our front door as you come in the porch. Can anyone remember what it is? The scripture over the front door? No? Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. It will not by any might or power that we possess. Instead, the presence of God is going to come one more time to a people who least expect it. The Apostle Paul considered himself the greatest of all sinners. He truly understood what he was chosen, that he was chosen and stood by the grace and the mercy of God. And Ananias continued, that you should know his will. Acts 22, verse 14. When the Spirit of God comes upon it, you will know his will. It will be engraved deeply within your heart. The Bible promises that you'll hear an inner voice that say, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30, verse 12. You'll begin to see the gifting that God has for you, abilities that'll come into your life to do things that you cannot do right now. You'll be able to speak words that you've not been able to power to speak without the presence of God. You'll possess humility and courage that you do not naturally have. You'll have all that you need to do the work of God has called you to do. And I said, you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. Just as Saul did, when you yield your life to God, you will begin to hear his voice. And he continued, you will be his witness to all men that you have seen and heard. Your life will be so touched by God that you'll serve as a witness of his mercy and his power. And Ananias said and asked Saul, "Now, why are you waiting?" And that is my question to you today. Why are you waiting? What is your hesitation? God has chosen each one of you and wants to use you, your life, for his glory. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. It's really that simple. Arise, stand up in your heart, stand up in your mind, whichever way you can, arise and call out to God. Here I am, use me, Lord, for your God, your glory. God is about to rise up a church in this last day. We can see the beginning of this happening already with what's happening over in the NYU these days. There's people coming there, they're being fed and they're being taught and they're hungry. Their lives are being changed around slowly but surely, and they're coming to church and they're giving their lives to God. We can see a little bit the fruits of the coming in already. But God is taking his time though, because if we had 40 or 50 people coming at one time, we'd be overpowered here. But he's bringing in ones and twos at a time. So we give the glory to God about, you know. The Bible says that you lay hold of the victory of Christ, you will be continually changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You will become a witness to others of what God has done for you. You see, that's the whole story of our lives. By telling others that God will do for them what he did for me. I had my struggles and my problems, as Pam will tell you. I had things that were spoken over my life that had me in captivity. I had a lot of fear as well. But I heard about a God, who God was and what he was willing to do, and I made a choice to arise. As you make the choice to arise and believe that God has chosen you, I encourage you to do one more thing as well. Start telling the good news to everyone you know who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Invite the struggling, the addicted and the depressed to come. You do not need a degree, and you do not need to have it all together to do this. Simply bring whoever you can, people you know from every walk of life, and say, "I want to tell you something. God has chosen you, and he's going to use your life for his glory." So as you gather in the simplicity of faith, start calling out to the Holy Spirit and pray that you will be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's how we started over 25 years ago in the old man's school. We just met together for prayer, called in the Holy Spirit, and as a result, we have what we have here today, you know. I'd like to tell you a little story about my friend John. John stayed over in the men's hostel across the, around the corner here, you know. And we had a prayer meeting here on a Tuesday night at the time. And this particular Tuesday night, I came down. I was in a lot of pain. And I just wasn't feeling well. And I sat there to the front. I brought down the armchair down to the front. And I sat at the meeting. And in the middle of the meeting, John, who usually sat down at the back there, he stood up and he started shouting, "God, God, my pastor's in pain. And I don't want to see my pastor in pain. Lord," he started shouting, "I want you to heal him now. I want him." He went down like that, you know, for quite a while. And he came up and he laid hands on him. And he went back and he sat in his seat. So nothing miraculous happened there and then. But as it happened, on the following Friday, I had an appointment in Dublin with my ear specialist. Now, I had a mastoid operation when I was 7 years of age, in my right ear. And ever since the age of seven, I went to a doctor. Whenever I went to a doctor, especially a new doctor, and he looked in my ear, and he said, he'd always tell me, "You have a hole in your ear, you know." And including this doctor I was going to, he told me, yeah, the same thing when I went to him first. And But this day, anyway, I went up. He looked in my ear. And he paused. And he looked again. And he said, "Mr. Dunphy," he said, "you have an eardrum." Right? Now, where this eardrum came from is still a mystery. But he looked up his notes, and he looked in my ear again, and he said, "You have an eardrum." So he started trying to think of a medical explanation why the eardrum happened. And he said, "It was turned around, and suddenly it turned the other way." But as a result, every couple of months I would have to go and get it suctioned out and all this type of thing. But the last time I went to see the specialist to get a suction, there was nothing in it. The first time ever I had nothing in the ear to get suctioned out. So I give glory to God. So. But John, our brother John, going back to our brother John, he was an alcoholic. You know, he didn't know, he was saved, he is saved. He came to know Jesus, his Lord and Savior. But it was a cry from his heart. And it was a prayer from him that he meant with everything that he had, you know. And that's what God wants from each of us, you know, to really pray and cry out to him, you know. And God will use everybody and anyone. You don't have to be anyone special for God to use, you know. You see, this is where spiritual awakening starts. It starts with just ordinary people coming together and saying, "God, we need you." And knowing deep down in your heart that you truly do need him, you begin to pray, "Lord, give us everything that we are told that is ours because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Fill this room with your Holy Spirit. Rise us up and let our voices and our lives to become a testimony of the reality of who you are. And let us be part of your end time army that will bring glory to your name." Now my challenge, are you willing to be part of this army? Arise, are you willing to stand up and let God know that you're going to be part of his army? So, John, from where you are, if you are, stand up. And now, don't stand up just because I'm asking you to. Stand up because you want to, and you're willing to share the good news with others. Thank you, Lord. And nearly 100% response. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord. Shin Shin. Next service is at 12 o'clock. You're all welcome to stay if you want another dose of it.